This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Wintery blast this morning. And I'm so glad to see you in the house of God after being iced in, snowed in. It's so good to be able to get out. Everybody say out. Amen. Be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in this place. Aren't you glad to be in His house today? Amen. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. These lessons that we're going, the one that I taught at the very beginning of the year, and this lesson, I combined really two lessons into one. I've been wanting to share these with you ever since the Lord laid them upon my heart back in the early part of December. If there's ever been a scripture that is more relevant to us today, it's this scripture right here. And it reads like this. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Don't be slack, he's saying here. He says, "For there's no work." I like how it's amazing how God's word is so relevant to us today. He says, no work nor device, all these things that you're holding in your hands, nor device. Now, I know he's probably not talking about iPhones here, but hey, we have devices, right? Nor knowledge, says, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. All these things, there's no work nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. All these things where we're going is to the grave. And he said, those things are not going to matter. He says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill." But notice here, "but time and chance happen to them all." But time and chance happeneth to them all. I want to talk to us today about pace and process. Pace and process. Let's clap our hands one more time before we're seated this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place today. Speak to our hearts once more. God bless you. You can be seated. I talked last time in this pulpit to you about the power of purpose. That every one of us have a purpose. That God has placed us here for more than just what we think sometimes. You see, you and I were not put on this earth to eat, just to breathe, just to take up space, just to consume resources. We were actually put here for a purpose. Everybody say purpose. We were here to contribute. We are placed here on this earth to be a contribution. God designed you and I to make a difference with our lives. And while there are many best-selling books out there, there are a lot of books out there in the bookstore. Their books, their whole theme is trying to teach us how to get more out of life. What can we get out of this life? But you know, in essence, when you read the best-selling book, when you read God's holy word, it's totally the opposite. Because the word of God will teach us that we're placed on this earth not to just get out of something of this earth, but to put something back into this earth. What were the words to Jesus of God when he first talked to Adam and Eve? He said, "I want you to go and I want you to be takers of this garden. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to add something to this creation that I placed you in." That's right. See, God wants, he wants you and I to give something back. Everybody say something back. Did he not say, Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13? Look at these words. What did he say to us? He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Well, what is salt? Salt is an additive, right? Salt is something you place in food that it flavors the food. And we all know in the case of salt, if there's too little, you know, it's got to be the right amount, right? If it's too much or if it's too little, it's going to be unpleasant, right? So God is speaking here, and he says that we are the salt of the earth. Thus, just like salt is to me, if there's too much or there's too little, we have to have balanced life as well. Amen. And see, in relation to our purpose on this earth, we can have purpose. There must be a pace that is set. There must be a process to go through, because without pace and without process, the journey to fulfill His purpose will never be accomplished. You see, how many, think about this for a few moments. It's amazing how I was preaching the first teaching on the first Sunday of this month. Now I'm here and I'm teaching on the last Sunday of this month. Now, the first Sunday of the year, everybody had purpose, didn't they? Everybody was making resolutions, wasn't they? We all were making plans. There were people probably saying, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. And so on January 1st, they went back to the treadmills. They went back to the gyms. They signed up for Weight Watchers, and they started eating tofu. Maybe. I hope not. Huh? Because they had a resolution, right? They had a purpose. They had a goal that was set. So thousands, what happened? They started off swiftly. They started running about a half a mile. Then it got to a mile and a half, and maybe perhaps 2 miles. And so, but now what? Now we're here. It's January 26th. Now, I wonder if I could go into their homes. I wonder if that treadmill, I wonder if it's got clothes hanging on it right now. Huh? You know, I wonder how many ways can you eat tofu? How many ways can you cook tuna? How many? I guarantee you that they're back to eating pizza again. They're back to eating fried chicken. Could I get an amen on that? I wonder how that point system is working out for Weight Watchers right now, because we all set goals in life. We all have resolutions. We all have purpose. But how do we get to that? How do we fulfill those goals? Let me get down to where we live right now. How is your prayer life going right now on January 26th? How are you praying? Are you praying differently than you was January 1st? Is your Bible being used for more than just a paperweight? Huh? Did you start off with the year with a week of consecration, but now it's the last week of January? Have you kind of settled back into your normal habits? You see, that is exactly why we need to be pace setters. That is exactly why we need pace and we need process. You see, the words we read, what did it say? For the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. What is Solomon saying here? Solomon declared that all these things in life are not given with good intentions. All these things he's talking about that we need to accomplish, they're not going to be given with quick impulses. They're not going to be even given with higher education or being multi-talented. That's what he's saying here in Ecclesiastes. That's why this scripture is so relevant to us this hour. Because we try and do it with talents, don't we? We try to do it with higher education, don't we? We try to do all these things to try and accomplish purposes in our life that are so contrary the Word of God and His principles. You see, He said all these things in that scripture happen by what? Time, the first word, time. He says being in the right place at the right time. Let's look at that scripture. Why is pace and process so important? Everybody say these words, it takes time.
It takes time.
It takes time. Let's say it again, it takes time. See, these are words we don't like to hear. We don't like scriptures that say run the race with patience. If you look back a few chapters in Solomon's writing, you go back to chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, what does he say in verse 1? He says, to everything, there's a what? There's a season. And then he goes on to say, and a time, notice here, to every what? Every purpose under heaven. We talked about the power of purpose, didn't we? We talked about fulfilling God's purpose. But he also says in the Word of God, it says that there is a time to every purpose. So, a time to every purpose under heaven. Let's talk about apples. Let's compare apples to apples for a few moments. Let's just talk about fruit in general. If I can just bore you with this little story and an analogy, okay? Let's take a fruit that you grow in your backyard. Maybe a tomato. Maybe maybe some other type of fruit, a satsuma tree. You place and you take careful time and you place this seed in the ground and you wait for it to grow and you fertilize it. You do all these things. Let's take that same fruit and let's compare it to a fruit that you buy in the grocery store at your favorite market. Look at those fruit. They look very similar, don't they? You take an apple beside each other. You take one from your yard and you take one from the superstore. Look at it very carefully. They look very similar. Of course, the one in the store is going to look a little bit better. It's going to shine a little bit more because they wax it. They do all these different things to it. So let's look at them closely. They're very similar by appearance, although the store-bought one may look a little bit better. But let's do a taste test. Let's cut them open. Which one is better? Which tomato is better? The one that was grown in a greenhouse or whatever those things are called, or the one that was grown in your backyard? Why is that? Why is it they're the same thing? It's a tomato, right? It's an apple, right? Why is it so much better in your backyard than it is at the grocery store? Well, I want to tell you why. The thing we're talking about. It's called time. Everybody say time. You see, the store-bought one was picked very early, and usually when it was green, because why? They didn't want it to bruise whenever they started shipping it. So normally they pick bananas green, they pick tomatoes green, they pick all different types of fruit green, because they don't want it to bruise in the process of being mass-produced, okay? But while that one is being picked green, there's another one in your backyard that is absorbing nutrients. It's still there. It's still going through the growing process. And while the one in your backyard is still in place, growing slowly and absorbing all these nutrients, the one in the factory is now being polished and wax is being sprayed on. Now it's being crammed into packages and all these other fruit just like it. It's being crammed, packed, and wanting to be processed very quickly. And so now, what's happening? The one in your backyard is still in the ground. The store-bought one is washed. It's waxed. It's packed in tightly with thousands of others while you are carefully watering and fertilizing that tomato plant in your backyard. It's time, isn't it? Then, the main reason why the fruit tastes different, those two fruits, right before it's placed in market basket, right before it's placed on the produce shelf, they gas it with CO2 to speed up the ripening process. While the one in your backyard, you're watching it every day, perhaps going and having conversations with it, perhaps even praying over it if you're a gardener like me. Amen. But you wait till it's perfect, till it's just right. To it just is now red and it's glowing. You know it's the perfect time to pick that tomato and you pick it. You see what how important pace and process can be?
That's so true.
See, we want the quick fix. We want the shortcuts, don't we? We want the on-the-spot solution. We want a sermon to help us. We want a seminar. We want an experience, a camp meeting experience that will instantly resolve all of our problems, remove all of our temptations, release us from all the growing pains. We want that to happen in our lives. But God wants pace setters. People ready to set a steady pace. People who are willing to grow gradually. People who are consistent. People who do not fight the process but yield to His plan. Remember these words. If you don't remember anything in this lesson, remember these words that I'm about to say to you. God is more interested in strength and stability than He is swiftness. God is more interested in strength and stability than He is being for us to be swift. See, God could easily, He could transform us into something great, but He chooses to change us gradually. Why does He do that? God likes to develop disciples. A good example of God establishing pace and process is found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Israel is receiving instructions on how to possess the land that is before them. God is telling them what they must do and what they're going to have to do. He's giving them instructions in order to inherit the land. So in the midst of all these instructions, something's established here. He's telling them, as he's telling Israel how they're going to inhabit this land, he's telling them this is the pace that's going to be set for you to inhabit this land. Pace is up to us. We have to establish pace. You say, well, how did I do that? Well, that's prayer. Prayer is setting a pace.
Yes, it is.
Getting on your knees every day, you're setting a pace. Fasting is setting a pace. It's setting us up for the blessings of God, for the purpose of God. Reading and studying the Word of God, that the pace is up to us. We set the pace on our day, in our daily lives. So he's telling Israel what they must do. But notice here, he doesn't just lead them by just saying, I want you to set a pace. Read verse 22 of Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. God here is telling Israel that the land is theirs to possess, but he's telling them there's going to be a process involved. He says, he's establishing some things with Israel. He's telling them, you're going to have to set a pace. But not only with pace, that's something you're going to have to do. I'm going to have to establish a process.
Amen.
There's going to be some growing pains. Why do we need process? Why must we go through God's process? Well, number one, we're slow learners. Everybody say slow learners. Especially when it comes to the things of God. See, we typically don't get the instructions of God the first time, do we? When God first speaks to us, a lot of times we don't react quickly enough. We don't get it the first time. Have you ever wondered why? Let's look at this. Again, the word again is in Scripture. It's recorded 672 times. Now you say, well, that's not very significant. Well, it is when you start thinking about other words. Let's talk about sin. Sin in the Bible, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, is only listed 448 times. What about the word bitterness? I think it's only 22 times in the Word of God. What about the words anger? 234 times. Hate is only listed in the Scripture 87 times. Envy, 20 times. Lust, 18. But again, is listed over 600 times, 672 times in the Word of God. Do a quick search in your Bible and you'll find out. Why is again listed more than sin, listed more than anger, listed more than envy, hatred, bitterness? Could it be that our biggest problem is not sin at times? Along with sin and along with bitterness, along with hatred, and along with envy, all those things, could it be that we just don't get it the first time? So we're slow learners. God has to do things over and over again.
Amen.
He has to remind us. So it's a process. Our problems are more big. It's bigger than just anger and hatred and all those things. That's why we need preaching. Everybody say, we need preaching.
We need preaching.
You see, you and I, we need somebody to remind us of the things of God. This is God's process. Let's look at Scripture. He proves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Here, what is he saying here? What's Paul writing? He told the Corinthians here, he said, by wisdom, by higher education, by all these things, the world tried to study all these things. Philosophers of our day have tried to find God in their textbooks and in their studies. And all the while, they haven't found God. It says, by wisdom they knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He says, God has a process here, folks.
Yes, he does.
I'm going to have a man that's going to stand in the gap and that's going to remind you on a daily basis you need to pray. Thank God that we have a man of God that can get up in the pulpit and he can tell us over and over again. You say, I've heard people say, well, my pastor preaches the same thing over and over again. You ever heard that? Well, be thankful he's not preaching a new doctrine. I should have been, amen should have been louder right there. Amen. But I've heard people say, my preacher preaches the same old thing over and over again. Now, that's the first thing I say to him. Well, be thankful he's not preaching something new, some new doctrine. But could it be the reason that he preaches things over and over and over again is because we're slow learners? Could it be that we don't get it the first time? And so he has to preach on prayer again because guess what? We're not praying. And he has to preach on fasting again. Guess what? Because we're not fasting. He has to talk about filthy communication coming out of our mouth because we're still gossiping. Well, let me move on to point two because I'm going to get in trouble here in a minute. I'm talking about a process. We're slow learners. And then number two, there's some things that we need to unlearn. Think about that for a while. You see, I feel sorry for the psychologist. Brother Mahoney, I'm trying to help you this morning. I hope I'm doing a good job. Let's take the psychologist for a few moments. I hope I'm teaching you something. Take somebody that's in their 30s. They walk into the psychologist's office, and they've had this habit ever since they were a child. They've had all this emotional problems, all these things, and they go into the psychologist's office. They lay on his couch, and they just empty themselves on that couch for about 30 minutes. They tell about everything they've been through, all the abuse they've had, all these problems they've had in their lives. And they tell the psychologist all these things, these intimate details of their life. And now, after 30 minutes, what do they say? All right, doc, you got an hour. Fix it. Huh? Now you see why he gets paid so much. You know, it kind of reminds me of another profession about somebody else that somebody walks into their office. Years of problems. Years of living a life that's out of control. Hear me now. Years of living a life undisciplined. A life of rebellion. A life of not listening to elders. A life of not listening to parents. Now walks into the office of somebody who has a greater profession than a psychologist. And unloads all these things in about 30 minutes. And they say, fix it, Pastor. I've been there before. I've had people come in and unload themselves upon me. And I tried to give them some good advice, but do they listen most of the time? No, because they're not willing to unlearn some things. You see, people expect a quick solution to a long-standing, deep-rooted difficulty, but that doesn't happen, does it? You see, since most of our problems and all of our bad habits, they didn't develop overnight, it's unrealistic to expect them to go away with the snap of a finger. You see, there's no pill. Listen to these words. There's no pill. There's no principle. There's not even sometimes a prayer that can instantly undo the damage of many years. You know what it's going to require? It's going to require pace and process. You see, it's going to take hard work to remove those things. We need some removal and some replacement in our lives. It's a part of God's process. Am I helping you thus far? See, we need to unlearn some things. Ephesians, let's look at the Word of God. Let's not take my word. Let's see what the Word of God says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. The former conversation, the old man. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, now if you think that all these habits that were formed as a child, all these things that you've done, is going to all change in one moment of time, I want to tell you, I got news for you. It's not going to happen overnight. I believe that for many years that we think when new converts come in, I'm preaching to the choir so I can say this. We got one visitor here, I think, right now. And it's nice to meet you, Pepper. Glad you're here this morning. But let me just preach to the choir. I think for years that we've expected people to change overnight. And when it doesn't happen overnight, we get frustrated, don't we? When all the while, let's look back over our lives. How long it took us to break some addictions. How long did it take us to become a godly person? A person that quit gossiping. A person that quit lying. I don't know what, I haven't maybe come down your street yet. I could get there, but I don't want to. I want to tell you, we've got to realize that it takes time, doesn't it? It's a process. You see, Colossians says it this way. In the which you also walked some time. And also says, when you lived in them. You even lived in them. He says, but now ye also put off these. What are all these things we got to put off? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He talks about lie not one to another. Seeing that you put off the old man which with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How is all this going to happen? Well, it's going to happen, first of all, when we set a pace, when we set goals, and not only set those goals, but we set a pace on how to reach those goals, and then we endure God's process. Did you know that God himself went through a process? God robed himself in flesh, right? Think about this for a few moments. The God of the universe was in a womb for 9 months developing, just like you and I.
That's right.
Spirit took on flesh, and it lived inside Mary's womb for 9 months. So now the child awakens. He's born. This child, Christ Jesus. Now the process begins. Now God, the God of the universe, is now having to depend on his mother's milk in order for survival. It was a process, wasn't it? So as a boy now, he's having to learn the process. He's having to learn to do chores, right? He's having to learn to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. The God of the universe now is what I'm talking about. He had to learn to endure sickness and hardships, even though he knew the cure. He didn't fight the process, did he? Because he says in his word, he was in all points tempted like as we are. He was in all points tempted like we were. He had all the same problems that we had. All the sickness, all the hurts, all the hardships. It was a process. He didn't wake up at 12 years old and start healing people, did he? No. But he went to the temple and was a humble and an obedient son and went to the temple with his parents at 12 years old. There was a process that was involved. He had to saw wood for his father. As a boy, he was told to go to bed, to comb his hair, stop throwing rocks. Could you imagine Joseph telling Jesus this? Put that down. Leave that alone. Be still. You say, well, how'd that happen? Well, I have a boy, and I can tell you, I know for a fact Joseph and Mary told Jesus to be still at least probably a dozen times. But it was a process. God wasn't exempt from it. So you and I shouldn't be exempt from a process, should we? Philippians says it this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. You could easily put the words that I'm preaching right here. He set pace and he went through the process. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He went through the process, even the death of the cross.
That's right.
There's not going to be an app designed that's going to get you through that process.
Boy, isn't that true?
You see, you and I must take up a cross. Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me.
Follow me.
Pace and process. Did you notice, you ever notice this? Nobody can run with a cross.
No,
you ever notice that?
No,
you can't run with a cross. We see people that, I've seen them, you have too, where they come into, they start living for God and they're so zealous, they're so excited, they're so just ready to do the things of God. And we all know as seasoned saints, it takes time for you to start learning the ways of God. But they're so ready to do something for God. And sometimes even we've been guilty of placing them in positions before they were ready. And so what happens is they have never set a pace. They got all this excitement, enthusiasm, but they don't know, truly understand the ways of God yet. They haven't matured yet. And so they're placed in a position sometimes and they make mistakes. And they try to run so fast, but you can't run fast carrying a cross, can you?
No, you can't.
There has to be some pace set. You see, if you're going to get up that cross up a hillside, it's going to take pace and it's going to take process. That's why it's so important for us to set times for prayer.
Absolutely.
Your pastor can't do this for you.
Absolutely.
Pace is up to you. Pace is for you to look at your calendar. We've heard it. I'm re-preaching things that Brother Donnie has said in the last few days about setting times for prayer.
Absolutely.
About setting goals when you go in that prayer meeting. Not just going in there and just trying to think you're going to come up with all these words and say you need to set up a prayer list. You need to set up some things. It's called a pace setting. It's called setting up yourselves to do the things of God in your prayer life. That's why we're asking you this year to invest.
Invest.
We're asking you, we're basically saying, set a pace this year.
Amen.
Start setting some goals and start setting not only a goal, but setting a pace to reach those goals. Walk with a determined pace. And with that pace, be willing to endure God's process. Why? I want to tell you why as we stand together this morning. The only way that we're going to reach the purpose of God is we're going to have to pace ourselves. We're going to have to travel through God's process. The process of growing, the process of maturing, the process of discipling. We're going to have to go through all those things.
Absolutely.
Purpose, pace, process, they all lead to one thing. If you have a purpose, you set pace, you have a process, go through God's process. What are those things, three things going to lead you to? To one thing. It's called product. It's called a productive life. It's called a life that fulfills the will of God. You see, product, setting pace and process brings us to what God wants us to be. It's going to end up, if we live a life with pace and process, we have purpose, we're going to hear words like, well done. We're going to hear words like, enter in. We're going to be like that fruit that was grown in your backyard that you didn't rush, that you didn't pick when it was green. We're going to stand before God and we're going to be the precious fruit of the earth. And He's going to look at that fruit that was planted and rooted in His Word. He's going to look at that precious fruit for all those years you endured temptation. You endured struggles and strife when you could have gave up and threw in the towel. He's going to look at you and He's going to say, you know what? They're without spot and wrinkle. You know what? Look at this finished product. Beautiful in my sight. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in to rest. So remember these words. Whatsoever your hands findeth to do, do with all your might. You see, all these things that we do, He said, you're not going to accomplish it with a higher education. There's nothing wrong with getting yourself educated. There's nothing wrong with all these things that we do. But to get after the things of God, you're going to have to set pace. You're going to have to set process because, He said, all these things happen in time and in chance. He said, what is Solomon saying there? He's saying it's going to take time and it's going to be in my time. When I think you're ready, if you're willing to set a pace, you're willing to go through the process, guess what? In time, you're going to be ready. Let's become pace setters. Let's become pace setters. Why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Let's endure the cross.